Dear friends, I pray that you're all well and keeping safe. It's difficult having to adjust to a different way of life, especially when it was thrust upon us so suddenly and so unexpectedly. We have had to make significant adjustments in how we live our lives and how we interact with others. We have so many questions and maybe very few answers. But I want to remind you that we are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and he is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews 13 at verse 8. I believe that he's given us a time to think about who we are and who we think Jesus Christ is. In Matthew 16:13-20, Jesus asked his disciples who they thought he was, and it was Peter who answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus told Peter that this had been revealed to him by the Father, and that Peter was the rock on which his church would be built. We know that Jesus isn't talking about a church building, and that Peter was the start of the church of people. As we read scripture, we see the building of the church. Peter, the disciples and the other followers all being together, learning together, growing together. See Acts chapters 2 and 4 especially. Who is the church? We are the church. The church is wherever God's people are. Church is wherever God's people are disciples and disciple makers. It's Matthew 28 at verse 19. The church is where God's people are obedient to his commandments. The church is where God's people are obedient to his commandments. And the church is where God's people are blessed and a blessing to God and to each other. The church is where God's people love their neighbour and their enemy and reach out in love to those who are in need, physically, mentally or spiritually. The church is where we see God's people healed and healing. The following is an excerpt from an update from the Principal Clerk of the Church of Scotland. It's headed, "A Parish Church Without a Church Building." I was asked last week if there were any reason why a parish church can continue if its buildings was no longer sustainable. The question was raised by Kirk Session, which, during lockdown, had taken a hard and honest look at the future costs of maintaining, to a reasonable standard, their 1960s sanctuary and halls. They did not like the figure which emerged. Act 7, 2003, Appraisal and Adjustment, gives this definition of a congregation. Congregation shall mean a company of persons associated together in a parish whose names are on the communion roll and adherence roll, and who are under the pastoral oversight of a minister or ministers or an interim moderator, and a Kirk Session for Christian worship, fellowship, instruction, mission and service. I can see no impediment to such an arrangement where a congregation worships and meets for other activities in a space it does not own, a school, a community centre or the premises of another denomination. With regard to the last option listed, I know that our sister churches are also facing up to the fact that their church buildings are simply unsustainable, and even if they could be paid for, they are the wrong type of buildings and often in an awkward place. Unbidden, the moderator of the United Reformed Church Scotland Synod raised the subject this afternoon in a meeting about wider partnerships. As we look beyond the lockdown when we've had to live outside our buildings, I wonder if we're coming to a moment when presbyteries might in some circumstances plan for a community-based church which would not have premises to categorise in their plan. And that's the update for presbyteries. It was issue number 4 and dated the 8th of July 2020. So the circumstances of this time have impacted on church resources, especially finances, and we need to consider what God is calling us to. I don't have any more information on the church buildings, but I refer to them as buildings and not church. As we go forward, we are the church wherever God's people are praising, and we have a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that God has provided us with a space to ask two specific questions, which we need to spend time with to hear his voice. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? I bless you in the name of Jesus, that the Father fills you with his Spirit and grants you peace, comfort and strength. Dave.
Livingston Session Clark's letter. When I was a child, Zoom was a nice lolly, or a word used in speech bubbles in a comic for something moving quickly. Zoom now has a whole new meaning, and is a lifeline in many households, and it's certainly allowed the church to keep functioning throughout this global pandemic. Each week throughout this time, Dave has met in Zoom with the two session clerks and treasurers. This has allowed the week-to-week administration of the church to continue. The Wednesday morning coffee and company allows us to share in a short act of worship. There is a time of prayer when people can make prayer requests, and then there is the opportunity to meet in smaller groups to share and catch up on news. The Three Churches Youth Group has been meeting once a month, sharing in challenges and activities, and the joint junior church has also been meeting. Zoom and a new platform called Teams has also allowed some of us to attend conferences and seminars hosted by the Church of Scotland and by other presbyteries. We have also been able to have session meetings and smaller meetings of working groups. Now, as we hear of churches reopening, this is not as simple as just opening the door again. Both congregations have established working groups to set out plans as to how our church buildings will eventually open, adhering to Scottish Government guidelines. The National Church is very definite that it wishes virtual church to continue once buildings are reopened. As we speak about buildings, I am pleased to inform you that at the manse at Priest Hill View, it's now under offer. Also, work on the repair of Livingston ceiling is well underway and should be completed by the end of September. Take care, keep safe. Sandy.
Prayer thoughts. We have experienced a fairly strange year so far. The effects of COVID-19 have been unexpected and profound. You might have been a pupil or student missing education. You might have been furloughed to help prevent transfer of infection in the workplace. You may have been self-isolating to avoid infection, or indeed to avoid passing on infection. Of course, there's the holidays. For many, their plans completely disrupted. When will it all end? When will we emerge into the new normal, however that may look? As Christians, is that how we should be thinking? When you consider it, what do we actually have control over? We can't change the past. We can't dictate the future. Our control is strictly limited to the present moment, what we do, what we say, what we think. The Roman poet Horace is credited with using the phrase carpe diem in one of his poems. And incidentally, it is worth looking the poem up and reading it, albeit in translation. The phrase is frequently translated as seize the day. Now, isn't that a good maxim? Make the most of the moment. Don't be wrapped up in concern for the future or consumed by worry about the past. When people become over-focused on when Jesus would return, Mark records Jesus saying, "Be careful. Always be ready, because you don't know when that time will be." And in the second letter of Peter, in referring to the same return, he writes, "Dear friends, since you are waiting for this to happen, do your best to be without sin and without fault. Try to be at peace with God." You could say these are good ground rules for our seizing of the day. Themes. Approach. Come before God humbly, but in the knowledge that you are there at his invitation. Confession. Review your prayer life and ask God to forgive its weaknesses. Thanksgiving. Ministry. Give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us, and Brian Devlin in his role. Remember also the Christian output on radio, TV and internet. Church website. Give thanks for being able to share Sunday morning worship through telephone and the internet, thanks to Ross's work. Session clerks. Give thanks for the continuing work done by Sandy and Kay as they keep the administrative wheels turning. Communicators. Give thanks for those who have kept in touch across the congregation, giving friendship and encouragement. not forgetting the editorial team in compiling and organising the magazine. Building Works. Give thanks that work can now start in the Livingston Building. Intercession. Fellowship. Pray that we retain a sense of fellowship despite not being able to worship together. Communication. Pray that there is a good response to the mailing seeking contact information from members. COVID-19. Pray that the virus will be overcome through losing its potency and use of an effective vaccine. Bereavement. Pray for all those who have suffered psychologically as a result of the virus. Stevenston. Pray that the churches will be able to respond to the needs of the townspeople, particularly those suffering hardship.
Livingston Finance Report. As you can imagine, there has not been any major change in our financial position over the summer period. Our cash balance fell by £1,465 to £21,052, the main expenses being M&M and insurance. With only 4 months of M&M still to pay this year, we have sufficient funds not to have to take any more from our reserves. With the restoration repair work about to start, the reserve will be severely depleted. The knock-on effect of this will be on our income next year, when there will be a much reduced dividend income to supplement the offerings. As you'll see elsewhere, Christian Aid have acknowledged receipt of the Livingston Players' donation. I sent them the money in early June, but it was not cashed until mid-August, so that has to be deducted from our cash balance. It may seem early, but now is when Robbie has to put in the order for free will envelopes for next year. With several folks shifting to standing orders, it would be very helpful to let either Robbie or myself know if you no longer need a set of envelopes. They are quite expensive, so the fewer excess sets we get, the better. As a side note, less than 50% of the sets ordered for 2020 had been used by March. I would like to thank all who have changed their methods of giving. Some direct to the bank, others by sending cheques or their envelopes to me. Some have used the Church of Scotland PayPal scheme. It all helps to keep things ticking over. If you wish to donate to the church directly through your bank, just contact me to get the church's account name and number. And that's from Finlay Kerr, our treasurer.
RDS Finance Report. In my previous report, I indicated that approximately 35% of our total offering was derived from bank standing order payments and appealed to those who were able to set up a standing order for their offering. Thanks to those who have changed their method of giving from FW envelopes to standing order. While this has resulted in increased offerings over the period of church closure, comparison with the equivalent period April to March 2019 indicates a 50% reduction in offerings from £9,074 to £4,512. Expenditure during the period April to July totaled £6,215, covering salaries, insurance, energy costs, travel expenses and presbytery dues. Income has been supplemented during this period by £5,434 from gift aid and small donations gift aid schemes, plus a £1,174 refund from Scottish Water for overcharging during 2019. Thanks also to the Guild for the donation of £300. To date, the congregation has made no payments towards our mission and ministry and mission allocation of £28,000 for 2020. There is presently no indication as to when the church might reopen. We must therefore continue to budget on a significantly lower level of income, coupled with increased energy costs for the remainder of the year. While it is anticipated we will be able to provide some ministry and mission payments prior to year's end, this will be significantly less than the allocated figure. If you would like to set up a standing order, make an online transfer or donate to the congregation using the Church of Scotland website, please contact myself on 466 895. I would be only too happy to provide you with a standing order mandate and any support required. Jim Dinwoody.
Keeping in touch. When I was inducted here, I was given a number of documents, but there was something that was missing, and it's in many congregations. And that was a directory of contact information for the members of the congregation. During the time, I have managed to obtain telephone numbers or email addresses, but there isn't a central point. Not long after entering lockdown, a situation in March, I was asked by an elder for a telephone number of the people in the district, some of which I was not able to supply because such a list didn't exist. That is why you'll have received a letter letting you know about the church buildings and also asking for your contact details. It will help us to communicate better and quicker and more in line with how you wish to be contacted. This information will be stored securely and will be used appropriately as set out by the General Data Protection Regulations, GDPR. You may also be wondering why more than one envelope was delivered to some households. Again, to comply with GDPR, we have to send to every individual and not every household. Please return the contact update sheet as soon as possible and by Friday the 11th September so that we can complete the directory. Dave.
A letter from Ian Roy, sent to Livingston Session Clerk. I would like to thank the Kirk Session and Congregation of Livingston and yourself for the clever card sent to me conveying congratulations on my approaching 60th anniversary of ordination on the 5th of July as a minister of the Kirk. The frontispiece of the card reminded me very much of the two nights, the 5th and 6th of July 1960. The first night, the religious service, the next, the social gathering. Looking at the picture again, I can see why Mr. Morrison, subsequently being asked who his minister was now, replied, "Oh, the boy." In fact, I was 27, but with no idea that I would be minister of Livingston for 37 years. I may say that I never regret that, nor did Barbara. They were, on their looking back, among the happiest years of my life and hers. We were enfolded in love by our congregation, indeed by all the congregations, including St. John's, and by the whole community. School, factory, presbytery, church communities, broadcasting, writing, all widened my horizons, but at the heart of all was the congregation, our worship, our activities, serving our parish and those who lived within it. I have been privileged also to have served this parish in which we have lived and relate to it as to you. Nothing can break the bonds that bind me and which bound Barbara to Livingston and Stevenston. They were forged in love, God's love, which blessed us in fellowship together. If we served you and him, we never forgot how you all joined us in that service, all you did for us and for him. As ever, with my love, Ian Roy.
Children's Church and Youth Groups. The Children's Church and Youth Groups continue to meet online. The Children's Church meet together on Zoom on the first Sunday of the month at 11 a.m. The youth groups meet on the third Sunday of the month at 6:30 p.m. The meetings have gone well so far and have been a good mixture of chat, fun activities and Bible teaching reflections. Parents have the meeting ID and password so that everyone can sign in and enjoy the fun. We look forward to getting back face to face, but are happy that so many of our young people have joined us in Zoom.
New normal. The global pandemic has brought a number of phrases into common use. Unprecedented times is one highlighting that we don't have an experience that allows us to deal with these times and that we are to adapt and almost set precedents. Another such phrase is new normal. There's an acknowledgement that we have to find a new way to do things and be different. This includes how we meet each other, how we go shopping, and how we are as a family of God worshipping. Matt Redman wrote about a new normal when he wrote the words of the song, "When the Music Fades." When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. As we begin the slow return to worshipping together, we need to come to terms with the fact that there's to be no singing, that we need to wear masks, and that we can't sit in the places we've always sat in, and that we can't sit with our friends. Scottish Government and Church guidance and good practice will inform us of all of these things, and you'll hear more of this over the next few weeks. Elders are considering the guidance just now. At the moment, it's not possible to give a date when we can return to live worship together. Returning to live worship together will be different. What won't be different is the focus on Jesus Christ, the risen and ascended one, who is a Redeemer. Our time together will be reflective, using words and music to focus on God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Both the pre-recorded worship and the live worship together will reflect this emphasis, although the pre-recorded worship will enable us to use hymns and praise songs. Whether we continue to worship using the pre-recorded worship or we manage to come to a live worship time, we will continue to do what we are called to do, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. There will also be opportunities to join as a church family at Coffee and Company on Wednesday mornings at 10:30 and Sunday night at the Manse at 7 p.m, both on Zoom. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. I bless you in the name of Jesus, that the Father bless and keep you, that he makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you, that he smiles on you and gives you peace. Amen. Dave.
Livingston Players. This has been a challenging year for everyone. With the current restrictions surrounding the coronavirus pandemic, we have had to postpone our 2020 pantomime. Whilst this is disappointing for us, our primary aim is the safety and well-being of our audiences, cast and crew. We want to thank everyone involved in our productions for their tireless efforts each year, and of course our loyal audiences who continue to support us. Until we meet again, keep smiling, be kind and stay safe. And finally, we will return in 2021. Oh yes, we will. P.S. We raised £3,200 for Christian Aid from Mother Goose last year. I will now read the letter we received from Christian Aid in thanks for this. Many thanks for your kind donation of £3,200 on the 12th of August 2020 towards the work of Christian Aid. Your gift will help support our work in 40 of the world's poorest countries. Please accept our sincere apologies for the late acknowledgement of your donation. This was due to the recent closure of our Edinburgh office and the difficulties associated with working practices during the pandemic. If you have any further inquiries, then please don't hesitate to contact us. Your amazing effort in raising funds for Christian Aid will support our work around the world. Christian Aid encourages communities to work together to bring about change. Extreme weather in the Philippines is a matter of life or death. Christian Aid partners in the Philippines, like Center for Empowerment and Resource Development, CERD, are committed to helping women and men in vulnerable communities to become more resilient, to anticipate and respond to disasters, and adapt to the effects of climate change. Jenny Ijano Espinola is a volunteer responsible for ensuring her community has a plan to be prepared for disasters. Households know the quickest and safest escape routes and receive timely and clear instructions via hoisted flags, sounding alarms and announcements over loudspeaker. Thanks to Jenny's tenacity and the support of Christian Aid partner CERD, the community is now better prepared for disaster and ultimately safer. Before the project, everyone acted alone. Now we're better organised. Each one of us knows what to do, where to go and what to bring, says Jenny. With support from people like you, Christian Aid partners like CERD, with volunteers like Jenny, are transforming and strengthening communities. Christian Aid believes in strengthening people to find their own solutions to the problems they face. We do whatever is needed to support poor people and their communities, whether it's speaking out against the causes of poverty or funding vital work on the ground. The generosity of our supporters means we are currently able to support over 600 partner organisations around the world as they work towards ending the injustice of poverty. Once again, thank you so much for your continued support of our work with and for the poorest communities on earth. With your continued help, we can make a difference.
Blythewood Care, in their recent newsletter, gave thanks for the 110,926 shoeboxes donated in 2019. These made a huge impact on the recipients, with many living in such dire poverty that this gift from an unknown person not only brings smile, but impacts their lives. Unfortunately, this year in Livingston, we will be unable to collect shoeboxes as usual. Well, this charity. You can support the charity in other ways, and more information can be found on their website or Facebook page. Like all charities during this pandemic, Blythewood has suffered. An alternative way to support them is through their gift catalogue. Your gift can help change lives for good. Why do you not buy someone a gift? To say thank you, to mark an occasion, to say I love you. A gift from Blythewood's gift catalogue can do all of these and something more. It enables you and your friends or family members to share the joy that comes from helping someone in need. Blythewood's gift catalogue is always available online. It's one of the opportunities to show you care. Website address is www.blythewood.org. Take care, keep safe. Dorothy Herschel. Crossreach. The Christmas catalogue for Crossreach is now available and can be viewed online at their website. Website address is https://shop.crossreach.org.uk. Alternatively, you can phone 0131 454 4374 to request your copy of your own catalogue.
Coffee and Company with a Difference, Wednesday 23rd September at 10:30. You may well be aware of the annual fundraiser for Macmillan Cancer Support, the world's biggest coffee morning. This year, due to the COVID crisis, a physical fundraiser can't be held. Macmillan have challenged groups to come up with alternative ideas. So here's an alternative. On Wednesday, 23rd September 2020, at 10:30, the usual coffee and company will be a Macmillan coffee morning with a difference. All funds raised will be sent to Macmillan Cancer Support. Donations can be made by logging into the JustGiving website and searching for Ardea L/W Livingston. To join the live Zoom event, use the meeting ID 841-2847-7367, and the password can be requested from Dave, Sandy or Kay. A goodie bag containing an individually wrapped scone, and jam and biscuits will be delivered to all those who wish to join in on Tuesday the 22nd of September. All these will need to be made up. Please phone Susan Gibson on 01294 466 216 to request a bay by Saturday 19th September. If you phone Dave, Sandy or Kay of the meeting ID password, they will pass your details on. If you're not able to join the live event, a recording of the service will be available after the service. If anyone wishes to participate in the event without joining in with Zoom, please contact us to request a goodie bag. We look forward to seeing familiar and visiting faces, and there will be a guaranteed surprise or two during our worship. Let's see if we can help make a difference for Macmillan Cancer Support.
Church rolls, baptisms. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Mark 10:14. Our dear parish church, 2nd of February 2020. Alicia Catherine Elizabeth St. Clair, born the 14th of December 2019. Death. I am the resurrection and I am the life. If anyone has faith in me, even though they die, they shall come to live. John 11:25. Our dear parish church, on the 28th of February 2020, Mrs. Lizzie Thompson. The 1st of April 2020, Mrs. Mary Campbell. The 8th of April 2020, Mr. Ian McLaren. The 9th of June 2020, Mrs. Janet Copeland. The 9th of June 2020, Mrs. Helen Smith. 16th of June 2020, Mr. Ian Ferguson, Livingston Parish Church. The 21st of February 2020, Mr. David Frew. The 25th of March 2020, Mrs. Elizabeth Haggerty. The 12th of May 2020, Mr. Jim Wilson.
David Frew was always thought of as a Stinson boy, despite the many years she has been now in Bensley. But in fact, he and his sister Jeanette received a good deal of her education in Dumfriesshire, where their father was seconded by ICI to Ministry of Defence work during World War II. The church was always at the centre of David's life. David's father was Livingston's property convener, a post David also fell heir to. Their efforts contributed not only to the welfare of the buildings, but more importantly, to the activities that took place in them. Both of them also in retirement became active in the property committee of Ardrossan Presbytery, contributing to the wider work of the church in our local area. David, however, had a wide range of interests: golf with friends, cine films with Bob, his father-in-law, a love of plants. But the gift Nan and David had above all was their gift of hospitality, welcoming people into their home, their community, their church. Given to hospitality, a gift the Apostle Paul commends to the followers of Christ. Now David is at peace, asleep in the Lord. We cannot grudge him his rest. Rather, we must give thanks, both family and friends, that we knew him, respected him, yes, loved him. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Jim Wilson grew up in Saltcoats, where he lived with his parents Willie and Bina and sister May. His faith was nurtured from an early age in Livingston Parish Church and Sunday School. As an adult, Jim made a profession of his faith in Christ and continued to faithfully worship him in Livingston Church, where he later became an elder, serving for over 50 years. Jim was also a long-standing member of the choir and the pastoral care group. He continued to worship faithfully until his failing health prevented him. He had many other hobbies, including walking, which he did regularly with Bill Munn. He was a member of Ardeer Golf Club, sang in the church choir, and was a member of another choir. He also enjoyed meeting up regularly with some friends from both ICI and the church twice a week to reminisce. One friend said they were a bit like the characters from Last of the Summer Wine. Jim led a really active and full life, a life which was filled with much love, given and received. It was in 2016 that his health began to fail, and sadly it continued to deteriorate, but with the help of his family and external carers, Jim was able to remain at home, where he passed away on the 12th of May.
Obituary for Ian Ferguson. Ian Ferguson was born on 24th April 1946 in Ayr, only son to Margaret and William, younger brother to Joy and Gay, and older brother to Jackie. The family were raised in Maybole, and Ian attended Carrick Academy. After school, Ian became involved in furniture retail, an occupation he continued with until retirement. Ian was a member of an amateur operatic, a first tenor. A favourite of his was "I Know That My Redeemer Liveth" from Handel's Messiah. a piece that he had sung so often that he didn't need music. He was community-minded and was involved with Age Concern and served in the Stevenson Community Council. Ian joined the church age 15 and was church as was always part of life. He became a member of Ardeer Parish Church after his marriage to Margaret and moving into Stevenson. He taught in Sunday school and became one of the Sunday school's superintendents. He also served as an elder for a number of years.
An invitation to bless our church. Over the first few months of the year, Sunday night at the manse focused on the blessings course, and during this time a format of blessing the church was developed. I invite you to join us by blessing the church on a frequent basis, either as part of your daily quiet time or in addition to that time. They're on the last page of the magazine so that you can access them easily. Thanks, and every blessing, Dave. Bless our church. We bless our church with the blessings of God in the journey ahead as we walk the path of union so that we become the church the Lord has called us to be. We bless our church to accept the healing power of the Holy Spirit. We bless our church with the ability to adjust thinking and practice to altered circumstances. We bless our church with the willingness to understand the restrictions that COVID has put upon the use of church buildings and the possibility of worshipping together. We bless our church to make best use of all means of communication in spreading the word, to enable everyone to sustain and expand their faith and fellowship. We bless our church that we may each be aware of and use the gifts he has given us for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We bless our church that our interpersonal fellowship may be strengthened. We bless our church asking that you inspire and renew us with your Holy Spirit and fill our hearts with the fire of your love. We bless our church's children to know that they are valued and nurtured in learning and feeling secure in their faith. We bless our church with a renewed vision and focus. We bless our church members to see the vision of our Lord's work in the town and have the courage to take part in meeting that vision. We bless those who have end-of-lockdown anxieties to take strength from those setting up revised working practices. We bless our church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.